Though oddly enough, it's not so much a topic of growing interest within the boundaries of gerontology itself, which I have to say remains rather firmly in the grip of that narrative of decline that I mentioned, and implicitly, not, you know, intentionally, but implicitly portrays aging as a kind of a problem to be solved. Medical problem, societal problem, financial problem, etc. And when you think about all the anti-aging creams and products that there are out there, it is kind of within the field of gerontology, often with the best of intentions, implicitly portrayed as an enemy to be combated. Not, as I'm inviting you to think of it today, as an adventure to be entered into heart and soul. The pastoral theologian or pastoral psychologist Henry Nouwen describes aging as a way to the light, not the darkness ultimately, but the light. And here's what Florida Scott Maxwell says in her wonderful little book, I hope some of you have it on your shelf, called The Measure of My Days, which she wrote when she was in her 80s, and I think living in some kind of an assisted care facility. She says, I want to tell people approaching and perhaps fearing age that it is a time of discovery. If they say, of what? I can only answer, we must each find out for ourselves, otherwise it won't be discovery. I like the way in which she thinks about aging as an intriguing, enticing, even enigmatic, but enticing sort of process. But how on earth, you are wise to ask, how on earth really, Bill, is aging a positive experience, an adventure, a way to the light, a time of discovery? Let me try and explain. Every stage of life has what psychologists call its unique developmental tasks. When you're, sorry, I'm trying to get the technology going here, and I, Every stage of life, according to developmental psychologists, has its unique developmental tasks. When you're 1 or 2 years of age, your developmental tasks are to start walking and talking. Some people never stop talking. When you're in your teens and you got the hormones going, the developmental tasks are a little different. When you're in your 20s and 30s, your developmental tasks tend to be to get partnered up and start a family of your own. Okay? Well, later life too has its developmental tasks, only they're not quite so obvious. I think they're more complex, more subtle, more philosophical almost, more internal, more emotional, or as I say, more spiritual in nature. They're also narrative in nature, which is what I'll be getting into in the session tomorrow. And here's what Thomas More, author of the best-selling book, Care of the Soul, there's then, Jane, you had an opportunity to meet him and hang out with him at a recent event. Here's what he has to say on the matter of aging. Growing old, he says, is one of the ways in which the soul, and I'm not going to try to define for us this afternoon the soul. Growing old is one of the ways in which the soul nudges itself into attention to the spiritual aspect of life. It's as if things have been set up so that if we ignore our spiritual side in early life, then aging itself will push us to develop it in later life. Now we can resist that push, and we can go kicking and screaming into what Dylan Thomas calls that dark night, as many opt to do, due to machoism or masochism or plain old pride or fear. But aging naturally nudges us in ways that open us to seeing it as not necessarily so awful a fate after all. An openness that my dear dad, I thought I had a picture of him, I guess I don't. Nope. Anyway, my dear old dad, who passed away at 98 in March of 2017, first day of spring. He loved to go, he was a minister with the United Church of Canada, and he loved to go across the road from the manse where we lived in a small rural community in New Brunswick. And he would say, I want to go up on the hill and take the long view. And he would stand up there on the hill and look out over the lake. And I love that expression, the long view. He wrote an essay, actually, when he was about 94. He called me up one morning and he said, "Bill, do you have a tape recorder?" I said, "Yeah, I can get something for you." He said, "I have some things I want to say." He had written his autobiography about 5 or 6 years before that. And it was like a sequel, a P.S. But he was very particular about the title of this P.S. kind of essay. He said, "I want to call it Accepting the Exigencies of Aging." Now, that's not a word I use very often. Exigencies are those things that we kind of have to deal with whether we want to or not. He wanted to write something that would be a source of encouragement to other older people and younger people as they possibly fear the coming of age. And the very first page of that little essay, he wanted to quote Robert Browning, the poet. And I'm sure you know this: "Grow old along with me, the best is yet to thee, the last of life for which the first was made." For various reasons, often due to changes in our bodies and our brains themselves, aging nudges us, not forces us, but nudges us, first of all, to become more down to earth, both literally and metaphorically. Literally, in that our height tends to shrink by 2 or 3 or 4 or even more inches than that over the lifespan because of strange conditions like sarcopenia and osteopenia and kyphosis, okay? But it also brings us more down to earth figuratively as the losses of later life, and they can be many, can bring us to our knees. And in the process, ironically, make us grateful for the little things. My mother's favorite words these days are the little things. She has a number of people who come in each day to help her with her morning and evening tasks from an outfit called Bayshore. And they're wonderful people. But mother will single out certain ones, like Tanya, for example, because she's so good with the little things. You know, she adjusts the pillow on my bed just the way I like it. She moves the cushion on my kitchen chair just the way I like it, the little things. And I think that's so true. It is often the case that aging nudges us to be grateful for the little things, the smell of a flower, the falling of the snow, if we forget for the moment that we have to drive through it. Enjoyment of a joke or a call from an old friend. The losses and changes of later life can remind us of our frailty and our mortality, and can remind us that at base we are, as Leonard Hayflick says, fragile rearrangements of atoms that started out millennia ago in the hearts of stars. That, as the songwriter says, we are dust in the wind. I see this intensifying gratitude in my mother. There's the picture of Dad, sure, on the hillside, taking the long view with his coffee cup there. But Mother, and don't tell anybody this. Come here, where are you? There, thank you. Mother has fallen in love again, okay? Not with Dad, she's still in love with Dad, he's gone to another realm. But she's fallen in love with this guy here on the upper right. Chris Christopherson. And why has she fallen in love with Chris Christopherson? Because of his song, "Why Me, Lord." Can anybody sing that? Do you want me to sing it for you? I don't think you do. "Why Me, Lord." She loves that song, and although she has macular degeneration and cannot read music anymore, she gets up to the organ, which she has in her apartment, and she plays that song just by ear. And she gets me to sing it with her. And this is an example. The picture on the left there is one of Mother says to me many times, particularly in the last year, she says, "You know, Bill," what? She sometimes calls me Billy. "You know, I feel like I'm already halfway in heaven." I'm thinking, okay, why do you say that? Because she says, "I'm surrounded by so many angels," by which she means the people in her building who kind of look out for her, who drop off cookies for her, who call her on the phone to check on her. When the power goes out, they're there with a flashlight, those special things. And this is one of her angels at Sobeys which is a chain of grocery stores in the Maritimes. Her name is Cindy, and my mother is on the left giving Cindy a hug, one of her angels.